Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Verbal Shenanigans podcast. Happy to have you with us. But first, I want to tell you about one of the sponsors we have here on the show. The NFL draft is one of the most anticipated days of any football fan's calendar, and that also means fantasy football season is not too far behind. DynastySportsEmpire.com is going to change the way you play fantasy football. DSE offers fantasy football gamers of all skill levels an opportunity to draft and retain your well-maintained rosters and players for their entire NFL career. Highlighted with large rosters, high-scoring games, easy payouts, and an amazing online community, DSE has everything you would want in a challenging online experience. Please visit them online today at DynastySportsEmpire.com. That's DynastySportsEmpire.com. And check out all the amazing upcoming formats for this upcoming fantasy football season. Go check them out. We got a great episode for you today, so let's get to it.
Hey, this is Dean from Collected Soul, and you're listening to Verbal Shenanigans.
But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
Hello, everyone. Breaking news. Mike Berlew is getting a message. He's leaving the show, apparently. Mike, let's first welcome our listeners. Hello from Verbal Shenanigans. I'm Scott. Mike, what's going on there? He's got an interesting message.
Yeah, from somebody I have no idea who they are, nor what, like, group they might be sharing or how they have any idea about me, or even if they know anything about the show. I get a message. If I buy ring, obviously that meant bring, double space you to a station, will you DJ? I, being the constant professional, replied with, huh, question mark.
Right,
to which, will you DJ if, double space, I bring you to a radio station?
So many questions. Like, first, are you, you have a secret, like, DJ skill you haven't told us about?
You know, there was a person at work actually who told me, like, when I said a podcast, and he's like, I always knew you had a voice for radio, and he was like, blunt serious, not like New Jersey sarcastic,
right,
response, but like literally where I'm like, really?
Yeah. Well, look, I think you got to keep us in the loop here and message this guy throughout the cast. Let's message him.
Right.
Let's message him. By bring me to the radio station, do I have to travel with you?
Okay. So
I hope this ends in some guy picking you up in, like, I don't know, what would a guy bring you to radio? Some kind of, like, white pickup truck. And takes you to some station that is his basement in the woods.
I mean, it would be a nice adventure and all. It'd be a hell of a way to go out.
It'd be nice, like, when we don't have any material. I mean, if you make it out, that is. But when we don't have anything to talk about on the cast, that's a nice adventure to dive into. So Mike
play
is currently
music.
What if he? What? Maybe it's that same guy who thought you had a voice for radio, and he really means, can you be like a, like their morning show host or something? Maybe this might be your last cast.
I mean, clearly this is up and up offer. I mean, I'm thinking this is a full time contract that this gentleman is going to be offering.
You know, we've been saying, like, yeah, we're not making money from the cast, but one day that opportunity is going to come, and maybe right before we started recording 2 minutes and 43 seconds ago, maybe your opportunity is knocking on the door. Judging by his spelling and his weird question, I assume
so,
this is legit.
I replied, so you want me to play music and talk in between? And he replied, yes. And then he replied, if that's cool, cool with a K.
Okay. All right, so let's respond. That might be cool, but you got to give me more information here. Where, when, what, that kind of stuff. this definitely ends with Mike dead tonight. Something or completely hacked.
Tune in next week to find out that Berlew has been murdered.
If you guys hear me next week with a new co-host, like, hey, everybody, I'm Scott, and that's Jim.
Matt Jenkins.
Well, anyway, and I mean, we're gonna keep abreast of that situation. Mike will inform us if any happenings come, and if this certainly is his last cast, Mike, you at least picked a good one, at least a good guest, anyway, to go off on. So, you know, 361 episodes ain't bad.
Okay. His reply before I asked the question was, we really, double space, need DJs. I think he meant really.
I would think so. I'm going on a limb and saying you're right there.
Or he could have heard how I talk sometimes and actually meant rally.
maybe he wants you to DJ a rally. Maybe.
So I said, that may be cool, but I need a few pieces of info, like when, where.
Pay.
IDK, when, double space, yet.
So, okay. So far you're DJing at a rally. Uh-huh. He doesn't know where or when.
Nope.
You don't know who they are yet, but they really need DJs.
All right, so I got a link to Lucky 7 HD Radio, Mix 96.9 FM.
Okay. something tells me that's not his.
I got to look this up. Okay. Hold on. Entertain the guests, Scott.
Listening to Mike Berlew live on 96.7 WLKK Radio. Spinning the tunes mine from 12 to 1 at night. I'll be with you all night long. You guys hanging with me?
Yeah. I'll be with you all night because I'm trapped in this box and they won't let me out to pee.
I will just... I don't usually start any podcast. We usually do anything to promote... the segment at the end, but it's fresh in my mind. Right before this, I was eating dinner, and I turned on Netflix and put on Bo Burnham's new Netflix special. And I don't know Bo Burnham's comedy that much. I know who he is, but he put out a special where he does all these songs and videos from. He did it in quarantine over a whole year in one room. I highly suggest, I'm about halfway through. It's freaking brilliant, man. Super, super creative, and makes me like not want to create content at all because it's so brilliant and like independently done. And, I could see that thing being a smash hit on Netflix. Just throwing it out there. Bo Burnham's new special.
All right. A little update, as I was trying to look out the page, quote, you can't play F words ether. I think he meant either. E-A-T-H-E-R. I'm not sure if English is the primary language of the human being I'm talking with, Scott.
Maybe you should have him call into the show right now. We should get down to the bottom of this.
Like, should I give him your number since I would come over the...
Yeah. You could say, hey, would you like to call us on the show and we'll discuss this?
I like how you have to go through Faye, but I already got the contact.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. No, don't give my information now. You tell him to go to Faye, yeah. Scott Brennan.
Breaking news, guys. Mike Berlew just asked our friend here to call the show, and he gave him an ultimatum. He said, you got to contact Faye. You know, Faye. Just contact Faye on Facebook. You know, any Faye's out there listening to the show, if you want Mike Berlew over there to be the voice of your radio station, the new Stern, if you will, hit him up over there, Mike Berlew on Facebook.
Couple things. One, it's Faye Roginski.
Oh, Faye Roginski?
Yeah, who's apparently a Mets fan because as I go to the Facebook page, the profile picture is the Mets emblem and the background picture is the Mets emblem.
Ah, Faye Roginski, big Met fan.
But I want to clarify, you have to go to Faye. I got the N right now for the famous DJ career.
Oh, so I have to contact Faye is what you're saying, if I want to be part of the station.
Yeah, as they clearly wrote, tell M to get a hold of double space Faye on Facebook.
What if you tell them we're a package deal? Like, you won't go without me. Like, you got to take us both.
How? About to ask. Oh, I got word. You tell him. Like,
you tell him, Mike.
I'm getting orders now. I'm not sure if we stop the recording before this, but I also got a message from them as we were asking questions about this DJ job. You can't double space play F words ether. So,
yep, no F words ether, Mike. You can't play your favorite songs, you know, that are you can't play F words. So you can say them, but you're not allowed to play your favorite tracks that are just F words over and over again.
But that's my favorite thing from DJ Khalid, you know, where he just says the F word for like 3 hours.
Another one. In the background. I don't know. Well, we'll keep you guys abreast of that situation as the podcast goes along here. Right in the middle of guests, we might just stop and be like, I'm sorry, we're going to put blah, blah, blah on hold for a minute. But they responded, no C words either. No C words either.
Dang it! Oh, now I only got 5 good words to use while I DJ.
Please send me your resume. I enjoy F words and C words, and I play smooth jazz.
Do you double space and your friend, F-R-E-N-D, warrant to DJ?
Do you and your friend warrant to DJ?
Friend, F-R-E-N-D, I think want, W-A-R-N-T.
Do you want to DJ? I don't know why I'm talking like Scott Stapp, but for some reason it brought it out of me.
Yes, we would love to do this.
All right, sorry, Podcast City Network and BS Podcast Network. We're out of here. We're going to FayeRoginski.com.
And Lucky 7 HD radio station, Mix 96 FM.
You're here on the Mix. This is Scott and Mike here, playing no F words, no C words, but welcome aboard. Anyway.
Hi, caller, you're on the air. Hey, can you play my favorite song? What is it? It's the F word. No! We've been over this.
Who? Our screeners are not working. Our screeners need to be fired.
I told you not to pick up that Gary Delabonte. He had no experience.
So, Mike, shifting gears here. You'll keep us noted if any developments happen on that. But the culmination of something that occurred from this show came to fruition on Saturday. A couple, I don't know, maybe 3-4 years ago, probably at this point, we tried to do a little podcast bit. We mentioned it here on the show where we had a little competition where we challenged each other to different things. We called it the Shenanigans Showdown. We broke it down by point value, and there was basically one, like, big thing at the end. I think mine for you was to sell Girl Scout cookies door to door.
Yeah, that was the 50 pointer. I forget what yours was. The wedding one, the 50 pointer. At one point, I told you to hop on a train.
Yes, yeah. You told me you wanted me to ride a train, hop on a train, and I said, well, as much as I love this idea, I'm not getting arrested for the podcast.
You could use the 50 points to, you know, use it as some kind of collateral to get out of jail. You know, it's like, listen, officer, this is a huge mistake. Why don't I give you 25 Shenanigans Showdown points and we'll call it even?
So essentially, yeah. So Mike actually changed it to I had to marry somebody. And long story short, the showdown started off good. It was probably too lofty of an idea to stay focused on for a whole year. I think if we had condensed it to a month, maybe something like that, 30 days, I know myself, I would have been a little bit more active on it. But just as time went on and things got busy and we kept podcasting and doing new episodes, I started to forget it over time. But anyway, so that year I had gotten my my minister certificate, I guess you can call it. And then all these years later, I was asked to marry 2 really good friends of mine. And that went down on Saturday. So I was the officiant. Not too many nerves, Mike. I didn't find myself too nervous. It wasn't like pre-comedy show jitters, anything like that. Maybe a little nervous, like, I don't like waiting around, like when I have hours and hours and hours before something. Like, I like to just go and get somewhere. So maybe a little bit of nerves then. But when I was there, I felt pretty confident. And I got to say, man, many, many compliments came from it. This was the best ceremony I've ever seen. It was very funny and heartfelt. So, Mike, I guess I have you to thank for this in some ways.
Well, for starters, you're welcome.
Right.
I mean that, not just for that, but in general, for
just knowing
you. Yeah, exactly.
Are you signing off? Like, is that what that welcome was? Are you accepting an offer over there from Faye Roginski?
We'll get back to your story. So, our friend here told me to call Faye, and it's an international number.
Oh, good.
It's in Luxembourg.
Oh, good. We have a lot of fans over there.
Yeah.
What would you do if you did call that number and you got in touch with Faye, and before you even say hi, she's like, "Oh my God, is this Mike?" And you're like, yeah, Mike Berlow from Verbal. Oh, she's like, I know who you are. Luxembourg knows who you are. You are huge. We've been trying to get you away from that Scott guy for years. Like, yeah. We recognized the talent on the show is a very long time ago.
There's a rumor going around they were trying to change the country's name to Luxembourg, which
right
has a great ring onto it. They already made the T-shirts. Like all the other phrases I said.
I also heard another one was Burr Luxembourg, which I liked also, you know.
I like the Burr also. I mean, no. It's my country now, so deal with it.
I am the captain now. So she's like, we've been trying to pry you away from that stupid show of yours for the last 4 years. And we ask you to DJ, and we're asking you to move out here. We're going to give you a six-figure salary to come on out. Mike, it's such an honor to finally get you on the line. I'm Faye Roginski.
I guess I'm my concern point, a six-figure of Luxembourg money, I'm kind of concerned. It's kind of like the yen where that's like you got 20 million of them, and that actually means like 12 cents. So
what if it's like six figures in euros? That's good money.
And that's more than U.S. dollars. I'd be down with that. But I was told, and you and your friend, F-R-R-E-N-D.
Ooh, a different spelling this time.
Yeah, double space email instead of email.
Oh.
Lucky 7 Music Group at yahoo.com. None of you take this email. I'm sharing with you, but do not steal our DJ stuff.
Saying you and your friend email. I'm like, Mike, who the hell is email?
Scott, I have other podcasts I do with. The Emol and Berlew Hour is just a side project, but clearly it got huge in Luxembourg. But apparently if we email them with our picks and time slots we want, it's a done deal.
So we're now able to just jump right into a radio station in Luxembourg.
Yeah, Luxembourg, I think, is the preferred pronunciation.
Can you ask them, are we allowed to send MP3s of our podcast? And can you guys play that there instead? Or you know, we have a weekly radio show. Can you guys play that, so considering we're in the United States?
Yeah, I will give them the offer. I mean, they're going to get us DJ and the Verbal Shenanigans show. That's a hell of a deal, Scott.
You don't go to the negotiating table with your lowest offer. You know, you shoot high and then you settle. So if they're like, no, we don't want the podcast, we'll go, okay, we'll take the radio slot. You know,
he wants to know if you talking to her. I guess he assumes you are the her in this situation.
No, I think he's asking you, are you talking to Faith Roginski right now? I think that's what he's asking you.
Yeah, well, I don't know what I think. Luxembourg is 7 hours ahead, so I don't want to wake up Faye at 2 a.m.
Listen,
if the
agents really want you, they'll wake up, they'll wine and dine you, they'll get a plane down to Georgia right now.
I mean, is there direct flights to Luxembourg? I feel I had to stop off in like Malta or something like that.
I don't know. Maybe shoot her shoot her a message on Facebook too, and we'll see where that goes.
All right. I'm gonna.
But yes.
Work on this. Yeah, but yeah. Talk about your marrying somebody. Real interesting.
sorry to dumb it down. I mean, as exciting it is for people to hear us say what to message people in Luxembourg. But yeah. So like I said, I guess it's because of you, Mike, that in a weird roundabout way, I was asked to marry two of my best friends. And overall, I think it was a pretty good experience. Now, I don't know if I would go the route of like doing it for random people. Unless there's like a good buck in it, which can't be that hard of a gig considering you probably get there an hour before ceremony. Ceremony's like a half hour and you're out. But I don't know if there's good money in that at all.
I heard there's some decent money in it. And then you factor into it. I mean, it's a quick gig. Then add to it, a lot of times they'll feed you. And
I mean, when I add like
a good side gig.
Scott Brennan, podcaster, comedian. Luxembourg DJ, wedding officiant. I'm just building that brand. I'm just, what do they call it? Diversifying.
Exactly. You're a man of many talents. And it's like, people just like anywhere they go, it's like, man, I put on my Luxembourg radio station. You're there. Man, I went to my cousin's wedding. You're there. Verbal Shenanigans, it's taking over the globe.
Yeah, I always like to say I do a lot of things, but I'm like okay at all of them. I'm not like exceptionally good at anything. Like, is there one thing you think you're really good at other than clearly DJing?
like super good?
Yeah, at it? Like you're like really good at it. Like you would be an outlier in a group, like better than like a group of people if you get together.
Nothing really comes to mind where something where it's like I would brag about it. It'd be one thing to say, I think I'm really good at something, but it's another thing, the way you're presenting it, it's, I'm really good at something, okay, let's prove it.
What about melting ice? What about melting ice?
I mean, I enjoy it, but I don't think it's a talent. I don't think that's something I come up with front with. Hey, Michael Berlew, Luxembourg DJ, and ice melt.
diversify. What about your carrot cake? Would you put that up against a stranger's carrot cake?
Oh, no doubt. Yeah, that I'll tap myself. Like, I'm still not good where, like, I could just do it from scratch from head. Like, I'd look at, like, recipes, and I will, like, do a little things different here and there. But, yeah, like, there was, like, a competition, and all. I think I could put out a good cake and, you know, rank. Maybe not, like, a professional competition, but, like, you know, blue ribbon at the county fair kind of thing. I got chance.
All right. Well, tell Faye that you're also good. You know, if you're also looking for a baker at the radio station, I'm also your guy. So I just throw out 10 jobs you can do. Maybe you'll get 3 of them.
Yeah. Side note, they can take recorded shows, and they need it at least by Monday. And he gave an email address, and music is to be clean. Again, Luxembourg, they do not play around with the profanity.
God, lighten up, Luxembourg. What is going on over there? I thought they were a lot more like open to cursing over in Europe.
No, maybe all of Europe, but like Luxembourg is that one country. Like the French are going over, you know, they're talking. It's like, oh, I'm going to Luxembourg this weekend. They're like, listen. If you do that, just watch your mouth. I had a cousin that went to Luxembourg. He said, damn, and he's been in prison for 6 years now.
So, yeah. So the wedding went really well. I like how we're having basically two conversations simultaneously at once right now. This is really good radio is what I'm saying. We're so good that we can't focus on just one thing. We got two things going at once.
Yeah, we got the DJ thing, you're marrying people, and I'm making cakes apparently for some reason.
Well, you know what? I'll throw out a third thing before we get to our guest here. How would you handle this? Okay. So my neighbor, who, remember, didn't return my plate for me when I gave her food on Thanksgiving for a long time. But she returned my plate overall. But I don't. So this is a really weird. So in my neighborhood, the houses are really close together because it's like an old like community where like they were used to be basically like kind of like bungalows and cabiny type thing, and everyone kind of built up the neighborhood or whatever. So your backyards are really close, and in the middle of the night, I just hear like dong 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 dong. I'm like, what the hell is that? So I go outside, take my dog out, and it's wind chimes, okay? Now, okay. Not like the normal wind chimes people out. Now, I am not exaggerating when I say these are, each chime is about 3 feet long. So these are monster chimes, like boom, like church-sounding chimes. So in the wind, these things generate some serious noise.
Okay, so these are not the chimes we get at, like, Pier 1 no. or Walmart. This is, like, special order. Somebody, like, got off the truck, two hands holding this box
yes.
full of chimes.
Picture, okay. like, the handle of a vacuum cleaner, like, that length. These are big-ass chimes, and they wow. sound almost cathedral-ish. So, like, in the middle of the night, like, when we had the windows open, because it hasn't been super hot, well, you know, whatever. When it's not super hot, we try to keep the windows open, and I hear this in the middle, and it almost has like a creepy vibe at like 3 o'clock in the morning.
Hmm.
So gotcha. I'm assuming I'm in no place to say anything. I can't be like, yo, can you calm your chimes after 10 p.m.? Can you throw some tape on them or something or tie them up? I don't think
that sounds like a good. Phrase to use it like in a comedy movie or like a television show that like that's their catchphrase and all. You best calm your chimes.
Calm your chimes, girl. Calm them chimes. But now here's what made it even worse. Apparently my wife was talking to her like a couple days after and she was like, I love your wind chimes. They sound so nice. And we hadn't had the wind chime conversation that I was like awoken from a No, I don't sleep very well. So when I wake up, it takes me a long time to go back to sleep. So I'm awoken by wind chimes that are booming chimes. Do I have any ground to stand on here?
Wind chimes, that's like kind of a weird one.
Yeah, usually you're like, leash your dog, you know. Can you turn the music down? I can't be like, calm the chimes, please, after 10. I can't do it.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a hard thing to kind of sell. I mean, maybe you can just know, like, when just in like general conversation, like, man, around 2 o'clock last night, I heard your chimes. Ah. I mean, they're beautiful, but I mean, wow, they're loud. You know, something where it doesn't sound like you're being angry at them, but at the same time, give them the notes. It's a tad bit of a problem.
The old start with something good and then drop the negative side to it. Be like, oh, I heard that beautiful music last night. No, maybe I should approach it like this. Hey, did you hear that? Did you hear those church bells going off last night around 3? Did you hear them? And she'd be like, no. You know, they were sounding like, ding. It almost sounded like it was in your backyard. Like, oh, no, you didn't hear them? Oh, okay. And then work on it like a multi-day strategy. Be like, I heard the church bells again. Did you hear them last night? And keep kind of peppering her until she realized, holy crap, it's my chimes. It's my giant, abnormally sized wind chimes.
Mm. Maybe like late at night, you can like cut the strings, but like figure out some way, like put a kid's airplane in there where it's like, oh, those damn kids. I can't believe they destroyed the beautiful chimes.
So there's a pack of kids in the neighborhood that come and put a airplane in the chimes once a night.
Well, like a toy airplane.
Oh,
like
so they're just like so accurate every night. They're like, wing, wing. Oh, no, not in Dawn's chimes again. We'll never get that plane back.
It's like a bad, it's a bad thing. With like the airplane's in there, but like the strings are cut where it's like, all right, you got to get rid of your chimes. They're no good anymore. You know what I mean?
Right.
No, I mean, don't just put a plane in there and go, oh, wow, and then just watch them take it out and then wake you up at 2 in the morning. There's thought into the process here, Scott. I'm trying to help you out. I'm building the scheme.
I can't continue to put a plane in there. It's got to be a one and done. It's got to be so effective, like, oh, that plane, and then I better take these chimes down.
Yeah.
So maybe it's got to cause a fire.
one. cut some string like that. That's what I'm saying. Like something where it's like, keep it up. Almost be trashy to have like wind chimes with like broken strings hanging out there in the wind.
Gotcha. Okay. So maybe I'll try, hey, did you hear those church bells? And if that doesn't work, I'll get the pack of kids with the airplane. And then after that, I'm thinking about, what if I just steal a chime at a time so they're not working as a unit, you know? So it starts to get more quiet and quiet, and then she realizes, oh, I only have one chime swinging in the wind.
I mean, that seems like a lot of work. I mean, that's constant sneaking up to the porch at late night, early in the morning, just to grab one, knowing that you're going to have to do it like two or three more times. Nah, just make it look like, oh, those darn kids and their ripscallion ways of playing with planes that go into wind chimes.
Did you just throw out rumscallion?
Yeah.
I haven't heard that.
I'm bringing it back.
Wow. I haven't heard that one in probably 35 years or so.
Well, I bring the classics here.
That's why you're wanted by the station. You're so eclectic, and your vocabulary is just through the roof. Amazing. But, you got something before we get to our guest here?
Yes. I got here. What time and day you weren't, and I can pass it to the boss with an S missing. And then I need to know for the next time I talk to him.
Hmm. Is Faye a guy?
I have no idea. We went from her to him. I mean.
Wow.
I mean, I don't know the proper pronoun for Faye would be the correct answer.
That's true. It is different times, you know. All right. So as random as our show continues to be, tonight is clearly no different. But one thing we can do, Mike, is always bring a good quality guest to the show. We continue our streak here. And here's a guy that you may have heard their music for the last 25, 26 years in your stereo. If you were like Mike and I's age, I could remember this band being on just basically constantly on play. I'm like, I don't know, in Jersey here, it was like K-Rock. Yeah. You'd get your Pearl Jams, your Soundgarden, your Stone Temple Pilots, your Smashing Pumpkins, and then Collective Soul would always be on there. You'd hear Shine would come on. Just a monstrous song. And they have a whole bunch of other hits, but you guys probably know Collective Soul. So we are lucky enough to have Dean Rowland, the guitar player of Collective Soul, and they're going out on tour with Styx coming up in the next week and a half. And they're still putting music out, and we're real happy to get Dean on the show. So let's give Dean Rowland a call.
How are you guys doing?
We're doing good, man. How are you? Where are we calling you at, or you calling us? Either one.
I am in San Diego, California. That's where I live.
Oh, nice. So first off, Dean, thank you for giving us a couple minutes here on the show. We appreciate the time.
Yeah, no, thank you. Good to talk to you.
So, Dean, I guess I got to start off. You see things are opening up, and I know you guys are going out with Styx, and you're starting right in, Alpharetta, Georgia, in a week or so. How does that feel after being basically, you know, every live venue shut down, music being shut down? How does that – are you just like – like beyond ecstatic at the moment?
Yeah, we're all excited. We got to play actually in Atlanta. It was a couple of months ago. We did like a social distance kind of show, and that was the first time that we had played in over a year. So it was like,
wow.
And I was like, what is this funny feeling I'm feeling? I think I'm kind of nervous. It's been so long.
Yeah.
So it was great though to be back on stage, and we're looking forward to doing it again, man. This is obviously the longest in our career that we've ever not done shows.
Yeah. I mean, we've had so
many. Go
ahead, Mike.
I was just gonna say, it sounds like it's one of those things where you're on the stage and you go, "Are you ready to rock?" And the audience is still kind of like, We're not sure yet. Can you give us a couple minutes?
Yeah, everybody's like, what is this new experience that we're experiencing sometime?
Yeah, I was telling Mike I did my first comedy show back with a crowd inside, and the first 10, 15 minutes, it was like people have never been out. Like, there was just constant talk. Like, you could tell people were just, like, catching up and forgot, like, that they're supposed to be, like, quiet and paying attention. It was mayhem for 20 minutes.
Well, you see, like what's happening in, like, I enjoy watching basketball, and, like, the fans have been just acting out like idiots, like, throwing popcorn on people's head and just, like,
running onto the court.
Yep. Running onto the court, yeah, I'm like, man, get it together. Pull it together.
So,
we're all still human.
So you as a musician, how did you – we've had so many awesome musicians on over the last year or so, probably because of availability for to do interviews and whatnot. But I've been asking every artist, like, kind of how they spent their pandemic time as far as – like, were you a guy who used it to your advantage and used it to write and create, or was it kind of a shutdown period for you?
No, I used it to create. We actually got together later in the later last summer and recorded another Collective Soul record. And I have a side project thing that I do that I'll write. So I was able to stay busy just being creative. And then also have a 2-year-old daughter.
Ah,
so that's a,
yeah, yeah.
That was pretty time consuming too, which is, I think that was actually one of a cool thing. I normally would not have been home as much as I was last year. So I got to see things that I wouldn't have seen otherwise. Right. So that was kind of a little blessing for me, a little silver lining.
So the band's been together for 26 years. Is it kind of amazing to think when this all started, your brother was just trying to make a demo to sell some songs? He wasn't really like aiming for making a band at that moment.
Right, yeah, I mean, you start out with best hopes, you know, and once we got the record deal thing happening, and we really worked our asses off, you know, because we wanted it to be a career. I mean, we were hoping to have longevity, but the odds are not in your favor as in a band. Like, just something goes wrong, somebody gets pissed, and whatever happens, and it just doesn't last. So we worked hard to keep that thing, you know, to keep it on the between the rails, and but I really didn't foresee, you know, looking nearly 30 years out, and we're still, I mean, we actually enjoy each other. We you know, have fun doing it. So it's cool.
So you didn't plan on liking your brother after a certain amount of time, is what you're telling us?
Yeah, well, you know, depending on the day, I don't like him. Anyway, but overarching, we like each other pretty well.
So I'm always curious with a band like Collective Soul, who's, you know, who's got fans for 25 years plus, and does these real big tours, and you're getting set out to go, you know, start touring again next week. How do you guys go about like the selection of songs? Because now you have a whole wide variety of albums. You have, you know, you have smash hits. Is it like, okay, we throw Shine on there and then go from there, or like how do you guys go through the selection process of what you want to play?
We just mix it up. We, you know, we're not one of the, we play the songs that people want to hear, our fans want to hear. So if it's the obvious ones like Shine or World I Know or some of the other ones that were big hits in the 90s or early 2000s, whatever, but you know, our fan base is pretty intense in terms of like they like records that weren't so successful from a commercial success. So we do go through, and it's like we just kind of pick which one's still good. Maybe we haven't played in a while to keep it interesting for us. We've recorded, we got two records that we've recorded. One was supposed to come out last year because of the pandemic, we didn't do it, and then we went and recorded another one. So we have two records that are recorded and ready to go. So And we love we're excited about that music because it's new and fresh to us. So we'll try to even throw, and we will, like some new songs in there too. So it's just kind of like a mishmash of some deep cuts kind of thing, the hit songs and some new songs that people hadn't heard, but we have fun with it and try to make it work.
Now, are you guys going to release those separately or are you going to do like a double album?
Probably separately. You know, honestly, we're kind of like, we're not sure. We gotta make a plan. I have a feeling that in the mid to late summer, we'll put out one of them, and then maybe early next year, we'll do the other one. Like, just kind of keep them, stagger them just a little bit.
Yeah, that's a good problem to have, though.
It is a good problem, yeah, exactly.
How do you feel you are as a performer have changed, and I'll say, from the first album, Hints, Allegations, and Things Left Unsaid, to where you're at with the Blood being released and touring right now? Where would you say would be your major differences as a performer?
Well, me personally, like, I feel like I just got, I mean, hopefully you get better over time. I was a young, I mean, I started playing, I played music as I was a kid, but I played piano, and then I played saxophone, and then all through school and high school. And then I just decided, like, my last year of high school, I wanted to play guitar, and I just kind of taught myself. And so I was really kind of very green in that. In the recording process, all of those things. And so I've gotten much more comfortable with myself as a musician and what role I play. And I used to be, like, when we first started going into the studio, I used to be really intimidated by it. Cause it was my brother was like the studio engineer growing up. That was his trade. And Will, our bass player, his dad owned the studio. So they were very well acquainted with all that stuff. And I was not. So, like, just got more comfortable with it. Now I love the recording process, and live is just, I mean, it's just good fun. You know, it's like it's not like playing a sporting event where you have friends and foes. This is people come to see you. They're pulling for you to just do your thing and have fun on stage. So yeah, that's just candy.
Now as you've kind of seen the whole evolution from tapes and CDs to now streaming, and even the return to vinyl, and as you see, like, the advent of the internet and streaming and social media, have you found that as beneficial for the band as far as making new fans or you know, keeping your getting your music out to new audiences, or has it hurt you guys as far as, you know, profitability and whatnot?
I love it. I think it's great. It's so convenient. I mean, can't carry vinyls on a plane and listen to them.
Yep.
I love the technology that happened. At first, when all of it was, you know, the digital streaming and downloads, the economics of it hadn't shifted in the artist's favor yet. It is still got a ways to go, trust me. But it's getting there, and I trust that over time it will continue to get better. But I love it. And if you're going to play in the game and you want people to hear you, that's how people listen to music now.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm not going to swim upstream on that one.
Mm. Now,
in saying that, though, I do love my vinyl collection, and that's a fun little experience. But the convenience factor of digital music is too good.
Right, yeah.
Absolutely. Now, you guys are going to be touring with Styx right now, which is really awesome. And with all your years of touring, I'm kind of curious, what is the one band that you guys always look at as like, oh, those are our best friends, we love touring with them, have a great time all the time, and what's the one band that you guys kind of look at and like, man, these guys are going to get us in trouble and all trying to hang out with them?
Probably in 95, we toured with Van Halen.
Sick.
Yeah. So and we became good buddies with those guys, and with Sammy and Michael especially, we stayed in touch over the years. And we've played with Sammy a bunch, and actually did a tour with him, I think it was like 3 years ago. So that's a good one. That he's been like a big brother mentor to us. He's such a great person. So anytime we get a chance to play with him or he and Michael, we love it. Get in trouble with probably, I mean, it would be somebody like more of like a contemporary, like we've played with Tonic and Emerson Hart. I don't know if you're familiar with those guys, and the guys in live, like the guys that kind of came up at the same time as us. When we've been with them, it can turn into a little bit of some debauchery going on. The morning in these days, the mornings come a little harder than they used to.
Now you guys came up like basically in the heart of when grunge was at its peak, and you guys get lumped in there a little bit, but I never quite saw you as the same genres as the Pearl Jams and Nirvanas and things like that. You always kind of had a different sound. Did you ever get like pressure from the recording industry or anybody to kind of alter your sound to try to get maybe more into that path, or were you kind of always left alone?
They kind of left us alone. I mean, there would be certain more the label would do more of like they let us do our own thing. We produced our own records and whatever, but they were more into, and this is kind of what labels do anyway. They're like, okay, write another song like World I Know, or we're like, you can't be that intentional with ourselves. Like the music, it's just natural. We do it, and it's an expression, not to sound too artsy, but it's like it is. It's like you got to be honest about what you're doing, and I don't want to be too like formulaic and just trying to do it to make it sound like Shine Part Two or something. Yeah. Like, so that's the only pressure that we got. And yeah, as far as the grunge stuff, we got lumped into it just basically because of we came out at around the same time.
Exactly. Yeah.
And you know, we saw ourselves more like a Elton John mix with AC/DC and the Cars or something. I mean, we just had our own little things going on.
Right.
Although I love the grunge, I love Nirvana and Pearl Jam and all that stuff.
Absolutely.
Also, along with the album Blood, recently you guys released Half and Half, an EP, where you did a couple covers of Opera Star and The One I Love. What made you guys kind of choose that? Is it something internal, or just you thought this would be great in our voice? What made you choose on those two?
Well, being from Atlanta, REM is from the neighboring city in Athens, Georgia. They were heroes of ours growing up. We loved them. And we just started playing The One I Love. We were touring with, it's leaving my brain now. Anyway, but we started playing that song live. And we just had fun doing it. And we're like, the idea of doing the EP for Record Day came up. And we were like, all right, let's get in the studio with it. And then Opera Star, we've always been a huge fan of Neil Young, and Ed had found, he'd been looking for that particular album forever, and he found it at this record shop in, I want to say we're like Spokane, Washington or something, and we were just sitting in the back of the bus. We had a vinyl player on the back of the bus, and we were just listening to it, and we were like, dude, we should jam, see if we can figure this thing out, and that was really it. So we went to the studio, we recorded both of them the same day, and just... That was it. That's felt awesome. Good about it. It was fun. Yeah, basically just having fun with it, covering two artists that you love growing up.
Yeah. Speaking of touring, you know, you're not old. You're in your 40s, but I know your brother is older than you. When you think, I'm sure the touring life has changed over the years, as far as when you started 25 years ago, 26 years ago, now. And now you guys have families and kids, and what can you give us like a picture of what it was like back then? Were you guys like road dogging in a van, and kind of how does it work now?
We did some of the van stuff before we got signed. So once we got signed, we were able to kind of kick it into not a nice one, but we got like a tour bus kind of thing, and we just piled in everybody in there. So, and we would be gone. I mean, we were road dogging it because we would be gone for 10 months at a time, take a week or two off or whatever. Coming off the road was we were going into the studio. So there was like those first 3 years were just nonstop. I mean, we would be in Japan, and we were in Europe. We were in the U.S. and it was just, it never stopped. So it takes a toll, man. It's like you lose touch with friends and girlfriends, and you sacrifice a lot to commit that much of your energy and time to one thing. Now we're able to, it's more comfortable in terms of like how we travel. And then it's the timing on things. Like we're able to, it's not months at a time. Well, we can do, you know, a few weeks at a time and then take a couple of weeks off. So it's just, it's a little bit more slower paced.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, how do you manage like the touring and family life, like the dad, you know, being the dad, you know, you're home and you have tons of time, and then all of a sudden you have no time.
Well, it's interesting for me. It's like I only have my limited experience with my daughter. She's my only child, and she's two, so I haven't really done like a full on kind of tour with her. A little bit in 2019, but that was still like half the year for whatever reasons. And then, so I don't know. I'm going to have to get back to you on that one.
next time.
I see the other guys like Ed and Will with their families and they just make time. I mean, they'll fly the kids out or, we have, you know, when we have downtime on around, like a few days off here or there at a certain city, the families will come out and we'll just do it that way. So it's a nice way to balance it out. And to be honest, I think their wives are like, get the hell out of here. They don't for real.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go. Will's wife, Donna, when I saw her last minute in Atlanta, she's like, Dean, you have to start playing shows soon. He's got to leave the house.
That's that artist thing, man. Get the hell out of here. Mm. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of the artist thing, like out of curiosity, when you're off the road, you're not touring or making music, are you still as a hobby, like playing around, strumming the guitar? Okay. Or are you one of those that's like, I need to get away from this. I got to build a puzzle kind of guys.
You know, no puzzles for me. No, it really is. I love it. I mean, it really is kind of my sanctuary to pick up the guitar and just strum it and find some chord progressions and find a melody on top of it. And I love writing songs. I love it. It puts me in a very great, good headspace. I can just kind of escape whatever I might be dealing with at the time.
Now, I know you probably get asked this a lot, but I still got to ask it. If, like, as you look back at your career and looking forward, is there, like, one show or festival or night that just like stood out as like you couldn't believe where you were, or you couldn't believe the size of it, or something that stuck out to you that still, you know, you go to bed at night and it pops in your memory?
Yeah, there's been a handful of them. One obvious one for me was because we had just started. I mean, we were 3 weeks into, I'm sorry, 3 months into having signed a record and the song was doing great, and it was, I haven't signed a record deal and the song was doing great. And we had just been playing like small clubs, and it was, you could just feel like more and more people were coming to shows, and it was like a real deal. And that was something we just were not accustomed to. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then we did, a tour with Aerosmith that year. And then we played Woodstock, and that was like 200 something thousand people there. And that was like, okay, well, this is a lot to handle, but fun. I mean, nonetheless, but that one absolutely stands out. And then I remember the first time, because I'm a huge U2 fan, and I remember seeing the live version of Sunday Bloody Sunday, and they filmed it at Red Rocks, and I always just wanted to go there. And I had been once, I think, to see, I forget who it was, and then we played there several times now, but the first time we played there was like a really cool experience of like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. This is like some kind of benchmark of like, it's working. Something's working.
Yeah, would love to make it out there. Haven't gone out there yet, but
You'll love it. It's so great, man.
I'm just imagining that scene. It's like, yeah, we're gonna do Roscoe's Bar. There's gonna be 100 people there. Well, next week is Woodstock, though. Yeah. You know, we'll kick it up a notch.
I'm not really exaggerating. I mean, we were playing before we got signed. I mean, the song Shine was kind of going because we had did it on an independent label, our own label. So there was some kind of thing happening, but just prior to that, even, I mean, literally, they would be like our girlfriends and handful of friends that would come out and see it. So we, it would be like 10, 20, 30 people. And then it went to, you know, Aerosmith, like thousands of arenas.
Yeah.
And then it went to like the Woodstock thing with 200 and something thousand people. I'm like, whoa. And I'm 21 years old. I'm like,
it's amazing.
Yeah, that's cool. This is exactly how it's supposed to go. I knew it was going to happen just like this.
Those are the natural steps.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's just the way it works in life. You just stream it up and it just happens. Heck yeah.
I know you guys are from Georgia. I currently live now in Douglasville. Just out of curiosity, as you moved over to California, how are you dealing with like the cuisine there? I'm guessing there's no grits or boiled peanuts out there for you to easily handle out there.
No, but I do love both of those and miss them very much. My mom's out here visiting. And my favorite thing is chicken and dumplings. And she cooked me a batch of that the other night. So I got a little bit of my southern taste buds fulfilled. So, yeah. Mm. You can find some boiled peanuts in the grocery store out here.
Yeah. I enjoy the boiled peanuts. I still haven't gotten to the grits thing coming from Jersey. I got to admit, that's one thing I still don't get yet. I got to be honest.
I mean, grits are what you put in them. I mean, really, you just put a lot of butter and cheese and maybe some bacon or something.
That sounds like anything.
Exactly. Yeah.
Dean, we're coming up on our time here. First off, I want to thank you so much for giving us a couple minutes here. It really is a pleasure to talk to you. So I was reading an interview with you. I don't know when it was from, but they were asking you about some music you were into. One of the things, one of the bands you said you were really digging, Nathaniel Rateliff and the Night Sweats, which is one of my favorite bands. We actually had two of the guys on the show here about a year ago.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. So I was curious. So I guess it's a two-part question. One, is there anything that you're into that you would tell listeners to check out? Any bands, any albums that recently dropped? And two, can you tell us where people can go to kind of find out about your tour information and the new albums and whatnot?
Yeah, all the social media stuff for us is probably the best way for any kind of information. I mean, obviously our website, but through Instagram, Facebook, and all those outlets probably be the best way to keep up with the happenings. What have I been listening to? I really love the girl, St. Vincent. I've been really getting into her stuff.
Yeah. It popped up on my Spotify the other day.
Dude, she's an amazing. She plays guitar and it's amazing. Just cool stuff. So yeah, and then that's a lot of my time recently. I've been like just kind of digging back into my old classic stuff that I've like reminded myself of. Why I do what I do, like listening to like Beatles stuff. I mean, I can't help it. I mean, it's a little cliche, but like you spend your time how you do it.
They're a new band, right? Like, they're up and coming.
Yeah. You'll hear some stuff from them, but it is like I just amazed sometimes at the songwriting and that stuff is like crazy. It never gets old to me.
Yeah, I agree. Dean, thank you so much for your time, man. I hope your tour goes fantastic, and you guys, we're looking forward to the new albums, and stay safe out there.
Cool. Thanks, guys. Nice talking with you.
Dean Rowland, Mike. Dean Rowland. Not bad. Like, you know, we sit in our basements, and we interview people, and he is open for Aerosmith and worked in has done Woodstock.
Yeah, well, you saw the pattern. He literally told us. Like, he went from literally in the same week, a concert of like 10, 15 people in the bar, and most of them he brought there to Woodstock. So very clearly, it's been 7 years now, but it's got to happen. It's right there for the taking.
So what you're saying is we need to start podcasting in a barn.
Not my first thought, but now I like the cut of your jib, young man.
Wow, you throw a cut of your jib out there too? After
I told you the classics are coming tonight, Scotty.
Mikey Classics in the house. But yeah, thanks so much, Dean Rowland. What a pretty awesome guy to talk to. All right, Mike, I understand that while we were doing this interview, there has been more. This has been a really weird night, okay? I'm just going to throw it out there because I got a call right before we're going to do the interview, and I'll get to that in a second. But let's continue with our what we thought was Luxembourg radio. Mike, fill us in on what has happened in the last half hour.
All right, so from the time we last talked, they needed to know a time, and they told me that we got Saturday open. So I was like, all right, I'm going to email, and we can talk. And I was asked, did you ever talk to Faye? And I said, no. Her number has a Luxembourg country code, and I believe it's 2 in the morning there. To the reply of, she is in Florida. And a later message sent her number again, and I assure you, this is a Luxembourg number. There are way too many numbers for this to be an American number.
There's no Luxembourg, Florida, or anything like that, correct?
I don't think they bought Florida yet, Luxembourg. I mean, I know the Euro's been up there, but I don't think they obtained Florida yet. So, but I've been informed that I should add her on Facebook, and it looks like they're really desperate for my DJ capabilities, either in Luxembourg or in other locations, possibly Florida.
So now, more breaking news. Right after we finished our interview here with Dean, I get a call. Well, I got two calls. So I'll get the one. Yeah. So I get a call from my wife as we're kind of setting up the podcast and finishing some intros and things like that. I go, what the hell? Like, she's upstairs. So for her to call me is like, oh, crap, something's going on. And she says, get upstairs right now. Your son is crawling. Okay, so I go up. Sure enough, 10, 15 minutes, he's kind of, you know, he's sloughing his way on the floor. But he is, dude, it's bad, man. The kid, you have a phone out, and he just, ooh. Like, so we just put the phone at the end of the blanket, and he walruses his way over to the phone. And pretty, pretty amazing. So there I am and having this, like, you know, special dad moment. Like, oh, my God, my son's crawling. Like, this is amazing. Like, also, like, oh, boy, we're in trouble. We need to start safety-proofing, like, everything. Big moment happens. That's probably up there 10, 15 minutes. I come back downstairs. Mike's sitting there. Like, I see him on the phone looking at messages. And I go, uh-oh, I got a call from Knoxville, Tennessee. So, thinking, okay, now maybe this is who the people we're talking about here. And I call, and they basically go, hey. And I'm like, hi. And she's like, hi, Mike. I'm like, well, this is Scott. Let me get Mike on the line. Get Mike on the line. Hey. She goes, you guys want a DJ? And it was like, and I'm laughing. I'm looking at Mike through the screen. I'm laughing. I'm like, well, we need to know a little bit of information. And she's like, well, we're in Mississippi. So far, Mike, we've had Florida, Luxembourg, Knoxville, Tennessee, and the radio show is in Mississippi.
It had to be huge, Scott. I mean, four different places all sprung out. That can only tell me this is the world's largest radio station that is begging for DJs.
Well, also, let's not act high and mighty, because me and Mike, right after this podcast, we'll email them our stuff and try to get on their network. Now, basically, it was like, okay, and I said, you know, Mike's in Georgia, I'm in New Jersey. It's kind of, we can't come physically and DJ. We can't do the Scott and Mike in the morning show every morning, you know? and she's like, no, you could send your pre-recorded stuff. And we're like, okay, great. And once again, Mike, they reiterated, no F-bombs and no GDs.
Mm-hmm. And Scott had a perplexed look, so I had to type to him what GD stand for, where he's like, oh, okay, I don't.
Yeah. So I guess.
It's a good deal.
Yeah, I guess we can't say the God D word anymore, especially if this episode, Mike, ends up on their airways. I guess we got to be very careful right here.
Yeah, we're making our marks. Apparently, we can go right up on their radio station.
Yep.
As long as we don't do those two phrases, we don't use that one word and that one phrase.
Yep. So I can't wait till I send them the Penis Puppeteer episode as the first. Thank you, Mississippi. It's been fun. See, this is how we get press. Maybe we go on the first episode and just bomb them with GDs and F-bombs, and then we're like, we get a big local write-up in Mississippi, and they're like, oh, my God. We become like the shock jocks of Mississippi.
We're like the Biloxi Howard Stern, where everybody's like, oh, man, these guys are outrageous. They dropped the GD in the first 5 seconds.
Wow. I mean, we had somewhat of an agenda tonight, but once again, the show finds its ways off the rails pretty quickly. Whether it's us rambling about nothing, Mike doing rushing accents, some product we come up with, bar fight leagues. But it certainly finds its way into different places. And I think that's what I love about it, Mike. But wow. So we'll keep you guys posted. If next week in our anything to promote section, we we might be promoting some radio station we're on in Mississippi for all our Mississippi listeners. Which, from what I remember looking at our Podbean, our numbers, we could use some help in Mississippi. So, yeah.
Yeah, we got to get that entire river line. We got to go to the main hub in Mississippi, and then we just branch out before you know it. Louisiana, whatever's north of Mississippi. I want to say Nebraska.
Whatever's west, whatever's south, we're coming. Oh, man. Mike, I guess before we go, you got anything we could yap about here for a minute?
Yeah. Oddly, it has to do with a nerd, like, oddly uncomfortable conversation.
Oh, good.
So, yeah, so I've been going...
So she asked for the divorce, huh?
I mean, I said, could we look at Universal Florida? And that was it.
Oh, yeah, that's got to be like big sin there.
Oh, yeah, that's like asking, can we change the baby to a different religion? So, so I went to work, and this one guy came in, and one of our sales techs came in, and he asked for some help, say, of his computer. So I'm like, yeah, sure. Well, it was a lot. I haven't seen him in the office in a while. Most people are working remote or whatever, but I'm helping a guy out. Really nice guy. Kind of know him. Don't really know him kind of deals and all, but always been nice. He used to be in New Jersey like me. So I'm helping him set up, and we're just going along, and I'm like, so how was your weekend and all? He's like, oh, it was bad. It was really bad. And
okay,
I kind of looking at him, and I'm like, do I dare ask you to be more specific? And he's like, well, you know, Saturday and Sunday were good, but on Monday I found out my fiance was cheating on me.
Ah.
And so I had to get out of there, and it's her place, so now the engagement's off, and I'm kind of homeless right now.
Yeah.
And then there's this moment where I'm kind of like, do I continue this conversation? Do I go back to working on his computer? And then he's like, well, how was your weekend? I'm like, do I say, great, man, did a 10K?
My wife didn't cheat on me. It was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Talked to the parents, went back to my home. Oh, sorry about that.
Have you heard episode 360 with the Streetwalking Cheetahs? It's great.
I was telling him about the podcast. Like, I forget what it was the setup for, but I was talking about the I do a show. And he's like, oh, man, it's so cool. And it's like, yeah, we had Mark Summers and John Walsh and blah, blah. That was obviously pre-
Right. That, it wasn't after. It wasn't like, oh, man,
well,
my wife cheated on me.
Check out episode 361 coming out next week.
Yeah. I mean, that's tough. I mean, that's definitely a guy that just wanted to talk about it with someone there, at least, or he wanted to at least mention what happened to him. I mean, as a guy who has been there, as far as the cheated on and wife thing, it does, like, odds are that was probably going on for a long time. Things probably haven't been good for a long time, and that's probably been weighing on his chest for a while, and he just kind of, you just happened to draw the short straw as far as asking him how his weekend was.
Yeah, it was like, because I feel bad, and because he was also a guy, like, when COVID happened, he was one of the ones, unfortunately, that got let go in that first shakeup, so he had some time without a position. I mean, I was very happy for him that, like, later on when his positions opened up, they brought him back, and that's all good. But, yeah, it's one. I mean, you know me. I'm not – I mean, when it's just, like, us back and forth, it's all good. But, like, sometimes when I'm in, like, people, I don't, like, not tight. I'm not exactly the most amazing conversationalist of the group.
Yeah, so what was your reaction?
I felt bad, but it was pretty much like I'm sitting there stunned. I'm like, okay, your phone's working right now. I fixed that.
Was it one of those situations where like it ended and you went back to like your desk or whatever, and then you're like, man, I probably should have said like, oh man, are you okay? You want to talk? Like, was it one of those things you're like, man, my reaction sucked?
I did go back later, like, just to check in on him, and I gave him my cell in case
he needed
somebody to talk to. But it was still, like, an awkward kind of, like, it just seems like when something bad happens to somebody, I happen to be, like, the first person everybody wants to confess to. You know what I mean? I don't know what it is. Like, I've always found, like, people I randomly know, like a person I knew when I worked in Bulgaria, she would talk about like her depression to me. And I'm pretty good at helping people out, but I'm also still in the back of my head. I'm kind of awkward with things where I'm kind of like, are we like friends? Do I talk to you after this? Am I just like your guidance counselor?
Yeah, maybe it's like maybe it's a compliment. Maybe you put out like a good vibe, like, oh, I could talk to this guy about something. Or like maybe they're just frightened of you, and if they don't tell you, they think you're going to take them to the murder trail and make work of them.
Yeah, I waited till he got to his car. It was dark. He was trying to open his car key, and I just swatted the key out of his hand, and I'm like, what's going on?
Tell me everything. Tell me now.
You're holding back. No, I swear the week was great. Don't make me hurt you. Like whoever did whatever to you.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Some people handle things in different ways. It's just, I don't know. I guess you're just like a big pale bear that you just want, a big teddy bear that you just want to give you a nice big hug.
Oddly, the wife calls me Bear. That's her, like, little nickname for me.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, Bear.
Yeah.
Maybe a bear is your spirit animal, not mine.
Hmm. Well,
Bear News! My wife calls me Bear. And that was Bear News.
Yeah. Well, you could talk about that woman who went out and shoved that bear down from the wall it was over wild, the weekend.
Man. Yeah. Bear jumped on her wall. She had a bunch of dogs out in her yard, and she runs out and, like, gives him a shove off of the fence. It's ridiculous. And then the bear starts reemerging towards the end, and she's, like, running back into the house. Crazy.
Well, I mean, obviously, I mean, I don't think even if you shoved a bear down, I don't think there's a person on the earth that's just like, yeah, come back for more. Come on. It's like, no, get the hell out of here. But all the credit in the world, like, she wasn't, like, nothing where it's like, oh, she's a bodybuilder or anything like that. She was probably like an average sized woman. She just literally, it was a huge bear too. It's just
reacted. Just
went, get away from my dogs, whack, and it fell down.
Yeah. Well, guys, I think we've come to the end of our cast here. It was an interesting one to say the least. It was an interesting one. So first, I want to thank Dean. Dean Rowland of Collective Soul coming on. Really, really cool to get a chance to talk to them. And if you're in down by Mike, if you're in Georgia, they're starting their tour there in Georgia, I believe, on the 16th. Which
yeah,
sticks.
I believe in Macon, Georgia, formerly Natty Bumper Cars
Yeah. So yeah, check that out. Go check out their tour. I don't have the dates up in front of me, but go check out Collective Soul, and also their new music. Mike, anything to promote before we roll?
I will promote Randy Santel and his videos on YouTube. He just finished his 1,000th victory of food challenges. If you people have not heard our podcast interviews with them, Randy Santel is a YouTuber who goes to local restaurants and performs their restaurant challenges to win a meal for free. He's won over 1,000 challenges. He has done it in all 50 states. I believe he's succeeded in 36, 37 different countries, and just an amazing guy. And he was cool enough to hang out with us at an Applebee's and slept on Scott's floor the one night.
He did. But, he did. We were punching a bag of wine while drinking it in a margarita bag, boxed margarita. So it was fun.
So if you want to see some of his amazing videos as he takes on his challenges, win or lose, go on YouTube.com and check out Randy Santel, or go to his website, randysantel.com, and maybe he'll be doing a food challenge near you, and you can come out and watch him.
Absolutely. Randy, I think Randy, three-time guest? Definitely two-time. Maybe three-time. But he's been on the show.
Three-time.
Yeah. Three-time.
Two food challenges, and the night we did Christian Okoye and the Jamaican.
Yes. And I will promote, so I did promote earlier on in the show, that Bo Burnham Netflix special. If you're just a fan of creativity, you don't even have to be a big fan of comedy, just a really super creative thing. He created it over a year in quarantine. I will also, if we're going to talk about shows, I will also promote, Mike, you would be proud of me, I'd sent you that F1 racing show on Netflix. Is unbelievably good. Drive to Survive. It's like so much better than watching the race. It's so much more interesting. It's like goes into the back. I learned so much about that sport and like the money behind that sport, and very cool show. So I don't know if you got a chance to check that out.
That's on my list, bucket list right there. But from what you describe, it sounds amazing.
Yeah, bucket list. So before you die, you got to watch it.
Not just
your watch list of shows. It's like visit the Grand Canyon, go skydiving, watch Formula One, Drive to Survive on Netflix.
Yeah, I just imagine where I'm like 98 years old, and they're like, we have to take you to hospice, and I'll be like, do they have Netflix?
There's three seasons to watch. And then quickly, I will promote next Wednesday. So this when this comes out, it'll be 2 days from now, June 9th. Going back to the Oak Barrel, Mike, one of our favorite stomping grounds here in West Orange, New Jersey, where we did Mike's secret 40th birthday podcast and a lot of comedy shows over the time. We did an interview there a long time ago. I'll be with Kevin Garifo of the Shining Wizards podcast, Natty Bumper Car of the Bumper podcast, and then Darren Patterson of the SNL Nerds podcast. Whew! And then Andy Glazer and Jelly. So,
who have no podcast, so ignore those two.
And if they do, sorry guys, I don't know your podcast, but we'll be glad to promote them. But that's it, guys. What a wild week. Maybe next week, Mississippi, we're coming for you. We're taking over the South. Other than that, guys, life is funny. Laugh at it. Keep the wind at your back.
And if the show's in Luxembourg, welcome up and Mendic Shenanigans.